Good evening and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Thursday, July 6th, 2000. In the fireside room this evening, Eunice Scharf continues her writing workshop, The Place of a Story. Tonight's topic is Any Story Told Twice is a Fiction. This is session SCE 2000-7. Let's listen in.
My name is Eunice Scharf. I've been teaching writing since 1990, having finished at that time a degree in creative writing that left me with some questions about how best to enable the creative process insofar as it applied to story, the creation of story out of memory or out of imagination. And in the last 10 years, I've worked with small groups on search and rescue operations into the elements of your own story, for your own sake or for the sake of eyes other than your own, that is publishing. So you can be here if you just want to do entry into your own story. You could be in such a class if you want to make story for publication. For purposes of Holden, we're writing into our own story for whatever reason you like. When I'm in the outside world, I work like this with fiction and poetry writers who want to work regularly like you do piano practice or scales or arpeggios. Keep the language moving. Work on either imagination or from memory. We work weekly, some in classes, some in private groups, generating new text. But when I'm in communities such as Holden, I suggest to you, you may not have chosen to write story or poetry as your occupation, but this process allows you to write together in solitude, but not alone, for individual renewal. There is energy where the creative act takes place, for restoration of your story, for recovery of your story, and hence to make whole, to stand by your side of the story, to gather the fragments and pieces. And in so doing, we make community because we listen to each other. You're invited to read today. You're not required. If you're sitting there anxious about that, you don't have to say a word. But once we've written for 15 minutes, then we'll read aloud from what we've written. In some communities, I say this is fun, but I'm not sure it's theologically sound in a Lutheran community. So we'll try to come up with a practical, pragmatic reason. There's pleasure. It's the most ancient reason for the production of art and the enjoyment of art is for pleasure. Is that too hard to take? Should we do it for some useful reason? Okay, some of you have been here before, and I'm going to go ahead without further explanation, and we'll talk about how we read. I very much ritualize this. I realized after some years of teaching, it's no accident I came out of a liturgical setting. I read, you write, we listen. The pattern is the same every time we do it. If you're interested in working in this process, I have a handbook for later. All right. Today I said the prompt I was going to have wedding photography in. Let's just hear a few verses from that prompt. I'm going to give you about three choices. I wish you'd number them. Number one, number two, number three. I'm reading the three passages. And after I'm finished, I'm going to put who wrote them on the board. Passage number one, who wrote it? Passage number two, who wrote it? I'll put on the board so you can get started writing, but you can refer to the author if you like. I'll tell you about it, but I'll write it after I've finished. So the first prompt, copy any line down you like from this prompt, and I'll repeat a line that I say you can borrow for the opening of your text. The first prompt is family and friends. From Family and Friends by Anita Bruckner. And the narrator is being asked to imagine a photograph, and it's the first page of a novel. I'll read about 10, 20 lines. Here is Sofka in a wedding photograph. At least I assume it is a wedding, although the bride and groom are absent. Sofka stands straight and stern. Her shoulders are braced. Her head is erect in the manner of two generations earlier. She wears a beautiful beaded dress and feathers in her hair. It must have been attached, that feather, to a hat, but the hat is hidden by her coiffure, which is in itself hat-shaped. Behind her stand her two daughters, beautiful also, but looking curiously tubercular. Perhaps those wide-eyed, pleading smiles had to this impression. The daughters are in white, with ribbons in their long hair, which I know to have been red. Sofka's eldest son, already a lazy conqueror, smiles easily. In his white tie and tails, he has the air of an orchestra conductor. The writer goes on at least two, three, four more pages with, I assume it is, perhaps it is the case, I'm not quite sure, and then reminds us that the bride and groom are absent as she goes around. In fact, after she reminds us they're absent, then she suddenly says, oh, there they are. After all, they are in the picture. You can choose, if you like, a remembered photograph or an imagined photograph of an event when everybody's there that you choose to have there. And if you too want to use the line, oh, I forgot, somebody is there, you can from this. I'm going to read you another one or two. This is number one, to do a photograph of an event, may or may not be a wedding. Tell me who's in the picture. Tell the listener who's in the picture. You can describe them as much detail or as little as you like. This narrator also says, I assume that's when the picture was taken. It could have been. It introduces you to being speculative. The quote for today was, any story told twice is a fiction. And then we start repeating the story by virtue of selection and placement, it takes another shape. So try that haphazard, if you like. I'd like to read you another one as a possibility. Totally different. You can borrow a line and go that direction. I'm opening up four doors for you, and we're right. This is the second one, is My Father Believed by Lynn Winelaus. She goes back and forth between my father believed, my mother believed. So just listen a little bit, and then you can choose any line you like to start or any image you like to start with. My father believed in personality, in will, in principle. My mother believed in buying and cooking and serving. My father believed in Judaism, that Judaism was somehow pure and that Christianity was tainted by the Greeks. My mother believed that women with big mouths were gluttonous, loud, and especially lecherous. My father believed that he and Pierre Trudeau were men of vision and demanded and deserved personal loyalty. My mother may have believed that, but I don't think so. My mother may not actually have believed much. She accepted a good deal. She may be said to have accepted everything, whatever my father or her mother, my grandmother, said. She accepted, more often than not, what I, my sister, our friends said. She believed whatever received opinion happened to be, or mouthed it, or not even that, really. She nodded her assent, but I don't think she operated on belief. My mother had played the piano when she was young, so they say. She was a brilliant student, graduated at the top of her class at the University of Saskatchewan in pharmacy. She worked as a pharmacist in Moose Jaw, then came to Edmonton to work at the Misericordia Hospital, doing research, I believe, on sunflower oil. Is that true? Could that be true? She kept all the accounts for the household and for my father. She was active in, indeed in charge of many organizations. In 1956, she managed the settlement in Edmonton of Jewish Hungarian refugees. Why on earth do I think she was simple? I always, as a child, thought she was simple. And I'm going to stop there. My father believed, my mother believed. My father believed, my mother believed. Or you could pick one or the other. Do you have to go back and forth? No, you're hearing how one style. You can mix these two together. You can borrow any line you like. Mix them together. Now, let's do one more, and this is the style of an opening that invites you to go into myth and legend. And the words will always give that some, what shall we say, place in the possibilities of things we can do with story. Now, I'm going to read you two lines for this third possible opening. Try this line if you like. The time of this in its beginning, in men's time, is 1880 in the summer, and its place is the Athabasca, near its head in the mountains and along the waters falling into it, over the Yellowhead Pass to the west, where the Fraser, rising in a lake, flows through wilderness and canyon down to the Pacific. In those days, Canada was without a railway across the mountains. And that's the line I want you to consider. Try, see that one if it works for you. And in those days, the time of this in its beginning. If that doesn't open a door for you, don't use it. Right? It's the most oldest opening for a story that we know, is it not? Once upon a time and in those days, the time of this in its beginning. You can do family, you can do anything you like. I don't want to name any possibilities. The time of this family in its beginning was, and in those days. Now, anything you want repeated, I'm going to put on the board where those three passages came from. But what I ask you to do is, from those lines, choose something. Here is a photograph. I'll tell you who's in it. Talk about the story of each person in it. The second one, my father believed, my mother believed. Do you have to take mother and father? No. You can take, I believe, my wife believed. I believe, partner believed. And the time of this in its beginning. In those days. Some of you are a bit young for legend, but see what happens. Any questions on that? If you were here earlier, I'm going to give one to new people, and that is the line from Emily Carr, all our Sundays were exactly alike. And that's a very concrete entry into story. If you haven't done this before, you might try that one. From Emily Carr, all our Sundays were exactly alike. And you go back to how that day was spent or how that day was prepared for the night before. Okay, any questions? I'll stop you in exactly 12 and a half or 13 minutes. See how much you get. It's best not to plan, not to lift your pen from the page. Be disorderly, be disorganized. Search and rescue writing. What do you find there? Please write what comes, not what you think is going to sound pretty if you do loud. In the next sentence or two, could you please draw a line? You see, it's over. Could you please draw a line in the next sentence or two and answer the question, what was I thinking or what was I feeling while I was writing? You have the capacity to be a huge story being carried in your mind that doesn't go down on the page. What is that story that was hovering there? Or what feelings did you have as you were writing? The writer is a lone ranger. And the discussion becomes me, myself, and I. So you talk back to yourself here. What was I doing? What other story was hovering there that I might have been planning to get to or might have hatched itself as I was writing? It's a kind of PS to yourself. Very often you'll have something there that opens up. Where are you going to go next? If you choose, you never need to pursue this if you don't wish. You could paint your story, you could dance your story, you could sing your story, you could stitch your story. What we're doing today is a piece of your story through pen and paper and word. It's almost as if I asked you to try a running stitch. Try the loom. Try the loom, stitching a little bit, see what you get. It's frustrating for some of you because you can get a large piece, you know, you may open up something and want to keep going. Hold on to it, carry on tonight if you like. But largely, I want to give you a chance to read so that, A, in hearing your story, you hear the rhythm in it and the images in it for your own sake, not for ours, for yours. Second, we say thank you. And third, I might give you one suggestion of where you can go with this from what I hear. But largely, not how to improve it, how to expand it, open it up like an accordion.